right. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I got to find it first. Y'all hold on. I got to find out what I'm preaching tonight.
Did it come to you in a fortune cookie?
Well, I'll tell you. You got to watch these small crowds. They fighting more than the big ones, you know. People are scared to say anything when there's more people around. But there's less people, boy, they just get you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And more so just a remembrance tonight is what we want to do. And I trust that the Lord will help us in some way and give us a good remembrance about exactly who we are, what is supposed to be clear as far as what I believe. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul admonishes young Timothy here. He says in verse number 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Oh, what a wonderful thought that is, amen, that God is a faithful deliverer. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, being deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And there are some things that we need to be clear upon as we live, and especially this day that we live in, when it seems like in America, being one that stands for right seems like a thing of the past. When consolidation of religion, and no doubt, you know, that infiltration that was preached in the 50s, that new evangelicalism, going into churches and trying to change churches and people from within, it was not a good thing. It changed the way that we practice as far as religion, how that we look at the Word of God even. And it didn't just change with the era as far as the fashions and the rock and roll music and the things and the trends in the 1900s. And even in today, it didn't just change overnight, no doubt. But it changed with our churches. Men and women begin to conform. Men and women who were saved begin to conform to the things of the world instead of changing the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin and saved people begin to change with the world or to the world, even in our churches. And it didn't get any, it hasn't gotten any better. It's only gotten worse, and it'll only continue to get worse, no doubt. But I think about this thought that Paul was trying to reveal to Timothy. And he says in verse number 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions." He said, I made sure that you knew everything that happened in my life. I made sure that you knew everything that was revealed to me as a child of God and a preacher of the gospel. I made sure it was revealed to you that you could know who you are, what you stand for, and what you should stand for in the future. And I think this, Brother Burks, where we've dropped the ball a lot of times in our churches, is that we have failed to teach those that are under us. We failed to show some of those that are coming up and our children and those children in our churches to be a leader for the gospel's sake, to train them into what is right, who you are, what do you stand for, what do you believe, and how can you answer those that would ask you what you believe. This is a thing of the past. I've walked in several, while we were on deputation, several hundreds of churches. And I could say there was a lot of them that had a lot of people sitting on pews that probably couldn't answer the question of what do you believe or what do you stand for. They could say, I am a Baptist, but why am I a Baptist? Why do I stand, not just as a Baptist, but as a fundamental, independent, King James Bible preaching, believing, teaching Baptist, why do I believe that? And why do I stand that way? And as he encourages young Timothy here, he said, you know exactly what I believed in. You know what I went through for what I believed in. And that's just as important as knowing what we believe in as to know as how far will we go to stand for what we believe in. If it meant persecution or if it meant affliction, how far would you go to stand as far as to say, I am a separated independent Baptist? How far would you go? How far will you go in the midst of those around you? Maybe those you work with, maybe family members. How much would you rather to be rejected instead of to be believed as what you are, who you are, as far as the gospel is concerned? Because with that, no doubt, the flesh will be ashamed. And now, we as Christians should never be ashamed. Amen? But our flesh wants to be ashamed, you know. It wants to feel that opposition and discourage us, no doubt. And with a stand comes discouragement. With a stand is going to come persecution. Just know that it's coming. But he encourages young Timothy here in verse number 14. He said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and it's been assured of. Though there'll be some that will try to deceive you, though there'll be some that will try to draw you off course, continue in what you know that I have taught you. You know the things that I've stood for. You stand for those things. You continue in those things. Court, we're to stand for those things no matter what. Not because Mama stands for them or Daddy stands for them, but because God's Bible, amen, the Holy Word of God teaches them to our hearts and ministers to us by the Spirit of God. According to this Word, we are to stand on this Bible, not according to any preacher, not just because it's just by duty, but we do it because we love God, and it's just what's right. What's right is what's right. Amen. What's wrong is what's wrong. If we'll stand there, I think we'll be okay. But he admonishes him here, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and it's been assured of. He said, you know this, your heart has been assured of these things, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He didn't get that from an infidel. He got that from a man of God that stood by the stuff. He got that from a man that had great convictions. He got that from a man that walked in the power of God. But not only did he get it from a man that walked in the power of God, but he walked by the love of God. And when he said his convictions, people knew he meant his convictions and believed his convictions. And it wasn't just something that he believed, but it's something that was instilled inside of him by the power of God. And they knew he was of God. And he said, young Timothy, know who's taught you these things. I would wonder sometimes those maybe that walk under us, how much influence do we really have, as Paul had over young Timothy? Could we honestly say those young men, that we might teach in life, or young ladies that we might teach and try to admonish in the Scriptures and lead them toward the right way of God? How many of them could we say, continue what you've learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them? Could we honestly say that and say, look at me and remember who taught you these things? As a lot of people couldn't say that, could they? They would probably be pretty ashamed and pretty guilty, amen, to try to say something like that to any young person coming up or young new convert. But pretty much this is what he's trying to tell young Timothy. What do you believe? And continue in what you know that you believe in and what you stand for. And that's where when Jude said earnestly contending for the faith, no doubt we are to contend for what we know is right. What we know that we stand for, we are to fight for those things. These are things that shouldn't slip from our memory. And I want to preach on this thought just for a couple of minutes tonight. Why I am a Baptist. Why I'm a Baptist. I mean, we are Baptists, right? We are Baptists, so we should know why we are Baptists. Let's go ahead and pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we pray that you bless your word tonight. We pray that you bless each thought. Father, I need your power and your help tonight. Father, reveal these truths to our heart and help us as we remember, God, what you brought us to. Lord, the understanding of the Scripture. Lord, help us not to be pompous in our thoughts, Lord. But God, humble to be able to be at a place where we can hear the Word of God, where we could worship freely, where we could take the Bible, Lord, and believe what you say, God, and help us, Lord, to do that tonight. Father, we'll thank you for what you do. May the Spirit of God minister to our hearts, Lord, in a special way, I pray. Father, we'll give you thanks and praise for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. We should be clear tonight, no doubt, on what a Baptist, first of all, is not, to know what a Baptist is. Amen? First of all, let me say, and I want to say just a few things tonight, maybe get a few things off my chest. First of all, we're not reformers. Amen? Baptists are not reformers. We didn't come out of the Reformation. I believe everybody in here believes that. We trace ours back to the New Testament days, amen. We trace our roots back to the apostles, to the disciples of Christ that walked in the Bible times. That's where we trace our history back to, amen. We are Christians. And as apart from being out of the Catholic Church or being part of the Lutheran Church, amen, or separating ourselves from Lutheranism, even to call ourselves a reformer, we are not. But not only that, because we're not reformers, we're not Protestant, amen. They put Protestant up there at the assisted living home where we do on Monday night. They have Monday night services, Protestant church service, or non-denominational church service. If it says Protestant or non-denominational, you're okay. People can come to that. That's okay. Some people even still, I'm a Catholic. I can't come to those services. But you know what? People say, ask me when I go through there, what kind of church is it? And I say, yeah, it's a Baptist church. It's listed non-denominational. Now, I do let them know that, amen. I don't want to go against the man or the government of that facility. But I do want them to know it's a Baptist church, amen. Faith Baptist Church in Ralston, Nebraska. And we're there holding those services. We're not Protestant. Not at all, friend. We're not brighters at all either, amen. You say, well, that's correct. I don't know about that. Well, you can believe what you want to, amen. But we're not here at Faith Baptist Church, amen. We don't believe we're the only ones going to heaven. Baptist is because you got Baptist on your name. Don't necessarily, and you sat on a pew, don't necessarily mean you go to heaven, praise God. Not brighters. We're not Calvinists either. Not Calvinists. Now, you can believe what you want to, but I'm not a Calvinist, amen. Not one bone in my body is Calvinist. Now, I believe in the sovereignty of God and the work of the Spirit of God, no doubt. But not Calvinist, amen. And we believe that God came, the grace of God came and appeared unto all men. And I believe that grace that appeared to all men was for all men. That was Jesus Christ. Amen. He came to die. If one came to die, if one man, sin came in the world, then the death of one man, life came unto all. Amen. And to all that would believe. And we believe that. Amen. That Christ came and died for all men. We're not Arminian either. Amen. We don't work for our salvation. Amen. We don't add to grace at all. Not Arminian at all. But we are Baptist, and that means and should mean a lot today. In a day when they're taking Baptist off the sign, amen, or they're putting community church on there, and then they put Baptist church in those little bitty letters like they do when they're trying to sell you medicine on TV, amen, and little bitty minute letters. You got to have a microscope to see them to find out what you're going to get, amen. Well, that's how a lot of them hide it. They don't want to be associated. And I know this one church up here, they changed their name and just put so-and-so church on the board. It's the Southern Baptist Church. They got SBC in letters about like that. The billboard's about the size of that wall. Amen. Their sign is, and they got this little SBC, you know, in the corner. You can't see it from the road. Friend, you got to drive in the driveway to see those letters. You know, they're not wanting to identify. What is that? It's an identification. It identifies me with what I believe. I believe the Baptists believe closer to the Word of God, or closest, amen, to the Word of God than any other identified as far as a denomination, and not really a denomination, but you know what I mean, closer to the Scriptures. We should walk by the Scriptures, and I believe the Baptists do. And that's why I'm a Baptist, amen. There are many so-called Baptists who don't hold to the doctrinal truths of the Word of God. They labor in wrestling of the Scriptures to the point of almost a gross doctrinal error in many ways. And I do not, and I will not apologize for being a Baptist, no doubt. And you shouldn't apologize for being a Baptist. We ought to be proud, amen. As long as I'm over here at this church, there'll be Baptists on that side, amen. And I hope that all any pastor that would pastor this church would make sure that Baptist is on the sign. And I kind of like those that say Independent Baptist Church too, amen. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I kind of like it. You know why we did Faith Baptist Church, Brother Chad? I have a lot of guys, they like, you know, I put a lot of thought into this name of this church. A lot of friends of ours, you know, that's church planters. They said, how'd you come up? Must have spent a lot of time in prayer. Must have got a word from the Lord. I said, well, here's what it come down to. I had the sign, and I had it made up, and it was either faith or grace, because that's what would fit on it. Amen. And so we just chose one of the... They said, well, that's crazy. You know what? It's just a name. Amen. I'm glad it's a good identification, but we are Baptists. I like the Baptists just as much as I like the faith. Amen. It's based by faith, but I am a Baptist. It identifies me of who I am. I'd put Independent Baptist on there, but I can't fit it on my sign. Hallelujah. I may get small letters and write it on the top like they do the SB. No, I'm kidding. I'm Baptist, amen. That's okay. I don't apologize for that. I don't think that only Baptists are going to heaven, but I am Baptist, amen. And I don't apologize for that at all. I'm Baptist not by convenience, but let me say tonight, I'm Baptist by conviction. And that ought to be how you are, amen. I'm an Independent Baptist, and because of my convictions according to the Word of God. Local churches in the New Testament era were fundamental and independent. Brother Chad, I don't see no need of changing God's program now, amen. He's kept it going for a couple of thousand years. I think it's okay to be independent. They were independent then. It's okay to be independent now. We don't need associations or social organizations to tell me what I believe or what I stand for. Why the Bible is to govern us, to tell us what we believe in and what we stand for. The local church, as it's been for some 2,000 years, is autonomous, local body of believers that is governed by God. God and the Holy Scriptures and God alone. And that's it. We don't need anything plus or minus nothing. Amen. We don't need a bunch of associational people coming in saying, if you do this and do this and do this. Why, we just preach the Word of God. We let God take care of the souls of men. We let God take care of growing the church. You know what? Sometimes it takes laboring and laboring and laboring and trusting and believing that God is going to do something on His timing. But I assure you that if we just keep to the Word of God, that we will be okay. I'm a Baptist because I believe that is the Bible way. Amen. It's the Bible way. Because I'm Independent Baptist, it is the Bible way. Say, Brother Shoemaker, that's hard to get a hold of. Well, anything other than anybody teaching an autonomous body of believers as a local church, amen, is just a bunch of hogwash. Whether you want to believe it or not, amen, you can't do it. I was raised up, you know, to believe that we're two or three together in my name. That's a church. Got two here, that's a church. Got three here, that's a church. Well, one thing about that, who you going to call when you get in the hospital, amen? You ain't going to be able to call somebody when you like that. Now, who's your pastor? Who's going to come see you, amen? You know, not only that, who have you identified yourself with? Where's your authority at? You see, the authority is the church. It's the local church. It's not necessarily in a pastor, although God set pastors and bishops over churches to oversee churches, amen. He's more or less just guiding the Word of God through the lives of men and women and trusting that the Lord grows them up. Understand. But it is God that governs the hearts of man. It is God that should govern us by the Word of God. And if a man of God or a pastor's not doing operating by the Scriptures, why, he's not allowing God to govern the people, you see. It is the church, though, that is alive. It is the local church that has been established. And this is where the authority is. And God and man should give himself, amen, to the local church. That's what Christ established, amen. He established local bodies. And if that's His plan, then we need to get on board for what God wants. Amen. I am a Baptist by conviction, not convenience. I am fundamentalist. And that's a pretty strong word this day and time. Amen. For all that is a member of an Independent Baptist church, I shouldn't mind being labeled as a fundamentalist, just as a car would need wheels and gas to go. I want you to know that we need the fundamentals of the Word of God to operate. Amen? Fundamentals. It's the basics. The basics. I have never understood why a man or woman from anywhere says they're saved wouldn't want to be labeled as a fundamentalist. Amen? I mean, if you don't believe the basic Bible doctrines and to operate your life by, then what are you doing as a Christian? Amen. How in the world are you operating as a Christian? Because Christian doctrines and principles are based by the Scriptures. Amen? And so we shouldn't mind being labeled as a fundamentalist. Amen? Although there are many that don't want to be labeled as a fundamentalist. We shouldn't mind that. Solid Bible believers have always been fundamentalists. I'm a fundamentalist, and if I say I'm a fundamentalist, then what are some of the fundamentals that I can say that I believe out of the Bible? I mean, if I am a fundamentalist, then what am I basing my fundamentals on? Amen. I got to have some fundamentals, amen, to be one. First of all, the inerrancy of the Scripture is one of our strongest fundamentals of an Independent Baptist church. 2 Timothy 3, as we had turned to at the beginning, says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and we believe all of those. Amen. Everybody say amen right there. Yeah. Anybody that's Independent Baptist in here, say amen right there. Yeah. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We believe all of those things because we are Independent Baptist. Amen. We believe that the Word is inerrant, though. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. I believe that. Not only is it wholly inspired, but it's wholly preserved. No doubt, God has preserved His Word unto all generations according to the Scriptures. And we believe that, don't we? That God is not going to allow any of His Word to diminish, but He's upheld all of His Word, and it'll stand. Heaven and earth, the Bible says, will pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. The inerrancy of the Scriptures, they're perfectly inspired, they're perfectly preserved. And we just believe that as independent Baptists. I believe that. Amen? We should stand on that. Not only that, but the eternal security of the believer should be something that's firm in our life. John 10:28-29, "And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hands." Well, that's a wonderful promise in the Scriptures, that God keeps us by His power. Amen. And it's not up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to... it's up to God, amen, to keep us and keep our salvation. We just believe that our souls are eternally secure. It doesn't mean that we're not robed in the flesh, amen. It doesn't mean that we're not going to jump out in the world, and a Christian can do that. We don't believe that a man cannot ever backslide on God. But we know that when a man gets saved, he's eternally saved forever, amen. His life has changed. He is consumed. First of all, he is inhabited by the Holy Ghost. And as an inhabitant, the Spirit of God will deal and work with that man. And no doubt that filling will be diminished, and it can be diminished. And he can starve his spirit man from the Scriptures and starve himself, and his fellowship with God be lacking. And no doubt he needs to be filled, amen, with the Spirit of God. But what we do know is that when a man is saved, he's still saved. Amen. We just believe that. Baptists have always believed that. I don't understand people that have gotten off on that. And the Southern Baptist churches today have now even got their divisions where they're separating. Some are going more Arminian, and some are going even Calvinistic. Amen. And some are just hitting the middle of that road. You know, even they have their divisions, and there are many of those that are leaning toward a works for salvation. Might I say, though, that if I am a Baptist, amen, I should believe in the eternal security of the believer. Amen. Amen. Not only that, we believe that Christ was born of a virgin. That's a fundamental of the Word of God. Amen. We believe in the deity of the Lord of Jesus Christ, that He was God manifested in the flesh. We believe that the divine blood of Christ was required for the redemption of mankind. We just believe that as Baptists. That's just something that should be firm in our hearts. We believe, that salvation is by grace through faith. And because it is by grace, it's not a work of man. Amen? Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." We just believe that. That's not something that we should compromise. These beliefs are not something that we should compromise on. It's something that we should be steady about and fight for. There are going to be people, and no doubt they're doing it now, trying to take the blood out of the songs, amen. Trying to take the cross out of our song. Trying to take these things out and trying to replace them with just a good, feel-goody stuff, amen. Hey, but it's not about that. It's about Christ. Everything is centered upon His crucifixion, amen. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of our faith. It is the gospel that we have believed unto salvation, and the gospel that we preach unto the redemption of all mankind. Everybody say, amen there. That's right. That's just what we believe. Hey, we should believe that as Baptists and stand for that. Fight for it. We also believe in the simplicity of salvation. Amen. A Baptist should believe in the simplicity of salvation, but according to the work of the Holy Spirit, working repentance in the heart of man. Did y'all hear that tonight? A Baptist has always believed that. Now, you say, with dealing with Baptists, we can go back, you know, to the Separatists and the Donatists and the Waldenses, and we could go back and do the history and talk about how the faiths were the same, amen, for the Baptists and the Anabaptists, and that's who they were, amen, as they come along. They had different names, but they stood for the same things. And the simplicity of the Scriptures for salvation was there, but also the working and regeneration of the Holy Ghost by way of working repentance in the heart of man was also believed by them as well. And it should be believed by us as well. It's a shame that so many have left the teaching, no doubt, of repentance behind. Amen? When dealing with salvation, and many have left the teaching of repentance, but not just the teaching of repentance, but they've left the practice of Bible repentance when dealing with the salvation of a soul. Maybe not the teaching of repentance, but the practice of repentance is left behind. And it's easy. I mean, when numbers is flashed and people make it some type of Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman to grow churches, amen.
Yeah.
Then that happens. But a independent Baptist have always believed, and Baptists in general have always believed, that the simplicity of salvation is real. But it is according to the working of the Holy Ghost. We still believe repentance is still right. Amen. It's still in the Bible. Man is to repent of his sin and turn toward the Lord. Fundamentalism is not only what would make a true Baptist church distinctive or a true Christian distinctive. As far as to say I'm a fundamentalist, that just doesn't. There's a lot of fundamentalists out there that are not what we're going to deal with tonight as well. Which is the second terminology of why, as far as being a Baptist, what do I identify myself with being a Baptist? Not only a fundamentalist, but a separatist. A separatist. I am a separatist. Not only am I referred to as a fundamentalist, and that label, I should be happy to embrace that as a label and identification, but I should be happy to be known as a separatist. When people say, are you a separatist? You should say, sure, I'm a separatist. Amen. I believe that. I stand for that. This is where the rubber meets the road, no doubt, in most churches. True Baptists have always been separatists. Amen, amen. Now, I want you to know this might ruffle the feathers if we put this on the internet. A lot of Baptist churches go to that and wants to hear this message, ruffle a lot of feathers. Because a lot of them say, well, I'm a fundamentalist, but I'm not a separatist. Or because they don't want to be labeled as such an extreme separatist. And that's the reason that they say, or they call us, legalists. Are y'all still with me tonight, aren't you? We're going to get into this in a minute. Just stay with me. We had to get through all the other to get to where we are now. Why? As far as separation has been taught, it's been taught on a negative issue. Unappealing as the word fundamental is the word separatist. Separation, though, Abigail, is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Separation's a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what it's according to. Going to Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what that means, a living sacrifice? It means that we're going to have to offer ourselves up before the Lord. And to do that, our bodies have to be consecrated like the sacrifices were in the Old Testament. That means they've got to be purified and cleaned. Amen. Separate from the fold. They're not like those with the blemishes and the spots and all those. You see, those wasn't offered before the Lord and well-pleasing before God. No, no, no. They had to be pure. They had to be separated unto the Lord as holy. And let me tell you tonight that separation is a good thing. We are to present ourselves before the Lord in a pure manner and say, I'm separated away from the world. Separation is as much for protection, though, as it is for identification. When we say I've separated from something, we're saying that I've identified myself maybe with a certain group of people. Amen? I've identified myself with this independent Baptist church. You know, over there in Belmont, a lot of people could say they called us Emmanuelites. I even went so far as one guy told another guy in the church that he had knew. He said, that old short, fat guy, amen. That's me, if you don't know. That short, fat guy coming around, he's coming around brainwashing people. That's what they tell you, that guy in Red Bay, Alabama, he's brainwashing people. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to brainwash anybody, amen. They can call me Emmanuelite, Bible thumper, whatever they want to. Separatist, fundamentalist, whatever they want to. But I embrace that separatism, amen. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that we embrace that. To be separated from something is to identify ourselves with a certain group of people that says we love the Lord, believe the Bible, and we'll do what it takes to be holy before God and to separate from things that are ungodly. Does the Bible still say be not unequally yoked? Amen. I believe it does. And with the unbeliever. And we can go out and become just like the world, talk like the world, walk like the world, do what the world does and say we're Christians, something's wrong somewhere. Y'all say amen right there. Yeah. Hey, I'm independent Baptist, and I don't mind saying that, amen. I'm a separatist. I believe in separating from the world. It's by identification. But that's not where it stops, you see. Separation, as far as identification, is separating from something. But our protection is who we separate to, you see. We separate from something, and we separate unto someone, amen. And without the second part, the first part doesn't mean anything. You see, being holy, it's not being holy, court's not what you separate from, but it's what you replace from what you've stopped doing, amen. Oh, well, I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this. Well, what have you put in place of that? You see, that's what makes you holy. As we think about this separation, men have to separate themselves unto God. Separation. As we think about Christ suffering without the gate, if He suffered without the gate, then we're to go unto Him without the camp. Amen. Hey, separation is a sign of love, not legalism. It's not a sign of legalism. I heard a preacher say one time, he didn't mind the term legalist. And there's a lot, you know, saying, I don't mind being termed a legalist. Well, let me tell you, I'm not a smart guy, so sometimes I have to go in the dictionary to find out what things mean. I wanted to find out, Brother Burt, whether I was a legalist or not, amen. I heard independent Baptist preachers say, I'm a legalist, amen, that's all right. I thought, is that really all right? I want to find out. If I'm a legalist, let me know why I'm a legalist. Amen. So I went in the dictionary and I thought, let me find out what that means. Legalism is excessive conformity to a religious or moral code. That's Webster's. You just go to it yourself. Amen. And I got to looking at that word excessive, though. That means to go beyond. Excessive conformity to, well, what's my religious code? Well, for me, that's my Bible, amen. This is the only religious code I've got. Now, I want you to know, I don't go beyond that Bible, amen. I'm not going beyond that. And once I started checking around as far as what legalistic things really were, I got concerned, amen. Because I didn't want anybody labeling me as a legalist. I know preachers, you know, they'd say you can't wear a red shirt in church because it's the color of the devil. Amen. Well, that's going beyond the Bible teaching. That's going beyond separating from the world. Amen. And, you know, there's even some good old preachers that nowadays, and, you know, they was raised up in the 50s and 60s. They wouldn't like my maroon shirt behind the pulpit. They want that white shirt behind the pulpit. Well, let me tell you, that's excessive.
Amen.
Oh, boy. I tell you, there's a lot of old preachers probably crucify me over that one. And you know why I never could understand, Brother Ron's, how they still wear the white shirts and they always still preach that, but they got the wire-rimmed glasses because it was just a lot lighter than wood. Amen. They didn't mind doing that. Amen. Some things, we were just too radical, but these white shirts, I'm telling you. Yeah, there's just some things that are excessive, but I'm not excessive. I don't want to exceed what this Bible says, but I do want to believe what this Bible says. Say amen right there. I don't want to exceed it, but I do want to believe it. I do want to take this Bible and say, if the Bible says this, then let me stand on that. If the Bible says this, then I'm to do that. If this is how it says that a woman's to dress, then let that woman say, you know what, that's how I dress. If it says this is how a man is to react, or a man is to act amongst his family, then let me take that Bible and say, let me believe that, and just do what that Bible says. If it says we're to shun these things and do these things and add this and subtract that, then let me do that. That's scriptural math on me. Amen. Let me add this and subtract that and take that Bible and just do what it says. And you know what? The world doesn't teach that. Not even in a lot of churches, the so-called churches today in America, they're not separatists. They don't mind the young people coming in and hanging all over each other. Although the Bible says it's not good that a man should touch a woman. Amen. It's not good that a male should be touching a female or a female be touching a male. Because why, Brother Shoemaker? Because it leads to other things. Amen. Yep. And because of that, it's wrong. If the Bible tells me it's wrong, then it's wrong. Amen. A lot of people, you know, they shun a lot of things. Say you believe too much literal stuff in the Bible. Well, I believe, you know, if the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Well, you know, it's not legalistic to say that. If the Bible says that, have I went beyond what the Bible has said to say that that is a shame? Well, the Bible says it, that it is. The Bible says that a woman's not to usurp authority over a man. Should I come to a place and say that a woman cannot preach or pastor before men? Are they usurping authority? Well, sure they are. If they're standing and saying this is what you're... Then yes, they are. They're taking charge or authority over man. Now, and I don't care what anybody says. I'm not excessive on that. I'm just believing.
Amen.
Y'all still with me, aren't you? I'm an independent... Why am I a Baptist? Amen. Because I am a separatist. I believe the Bible. I separate from the world. I don't care what that church down the road says. Amen. They've called me a couple of times. You want to come to the community services? And I'm sure they'd probably even let me hold one. Amen. Being a new church in the area. They called, you know, during the summer. You want to lead the parade as our churches are going to lead the parade. Happened on Sunday. I said, no, thank you. Am I being excessive in saying that I need to go to church on Sunday? Amen. Am I being excessive to say that I'm not going to yoke up and say it's okay for a woman to pastor? Am I being excessive? No, no, no. I'm being believing what that Bible says. The Bible says it, let me believe it. If it don't say it, then I don't want to believe it. Amen. If it don't say it, that's fine. Always, you know, I've had several talks, and there are a lot of people believe how they're going to believe as far as the qualifications of a preacher, you know. And I had a man write to me just the other day, you know, what do you believe about a man, you know, being divorced and pastoring a church? And I said, well, the Bible says he's to be the husband of one wife. If the Bible says it, then that's all the Bible says, and what do you want me to believe extra? I'm not excessive in going above, going beyond the Scripture. I'm just taking the Scripture, believing what it says. Not legalistic, but I am a separatist. A separatist is a Bible believer that takes the Scriptures and says, this is how it is. That let me and my family separate from the world and separate unto God. Amen, amen. Y'all still with me tonight, aren't you? This is where we're at. I am a separatist. We shouldn't mind being called a separatist. If you're moving toward God, you must be moving away from the world because they're so far from each other. Amen. Separatists take the Bible and they move toward God, and in light, they're moving away from the world. And if you're a separatist, that's what you're going to do. Liberal churches labeled separatism as an independent Baptist thing. That's the way I mean. People says I'm a separatist, then you got to be independent Baptist. You can't be anything else. Well, that's okay. I can identify with being an independent Baptist by calling me a separatist. You can call me a conservative. You can call me a fundamentalist. Call me what you want. If it identifies me with being an independent Baptist, praise the Lord. Amen. Because I am an independent Baptist. But liberal churches, when they hear separatists, they think of an independent Baptist church. You must be part of an independent Baptist church. It's not an independent Baptist thing. Separatism is a Bible-commanded thing. Amen? Separatists aren't legalists. They're not Pharisees. Most of you know, that what I have taught, what I believe, I'm not Pharisee-equal on those issues. I'm not legalistic. Hey, when people come in, I let them know, this is why we want a woman wearing a dress whenever she sings in the church. This is why we don't let the boy, it doesn't matter, boy or man. I love these young boys and training these young men. And, you know, taking up offering. They got to start somewhere, amen. Do something for God. But, you know, you got shorts on, you ain't coming up here, amen. And you say, wow, Brother Shoemaker, because if you give an inch, people take a mile, amen. All of a sudden you've got a woman, you say, well, you can wear loose fitting slacks, sir. Then all of a sudden this one gets a little tighter, and that one gets a little tighter, and this one gets a little tighter. And before you know it, you've got a bunch of carnality in your church. I've had people come in, you know, and say, you know, what do you think about this, or how do you believe about this? Why do you do these things? People that wasn't raised independent Baptist, I say, this is how we operate. This is the way we believe. This is why we believe that. We have to separate from the world because we have been called out. We're a peculiar people, amen. And we are to be, walk before the Lord, and be thou perfect. Are we going to do that or are we not going to do that? I understand we'll never be perfect people, but we are to walk upright before man as to be in the image of Christ. True Baptist churches have always been separatist, though. Have always. Most denominations will agree. And they'll agree to disagree on major doctrines. And usually they do that to set aside maybe their false premise. They love and fellowship and worship together, and they do it all without God's Word. They go beyond. They should be excessive. They should be legalistic. They go beyond the Word of God because they do things without the Word of God. And they do those things, and they try to walk on the same plane. And you know, I go out visiting, and all I do is I shake my head, amen. I just say, yeah. You know, somebody says, well, we all serve the same God. You know, we all striving for the same. And you know what? You have to be understanding, because people are just not. They don't know. Amen. They don't know. And you just say, yeah. You know, if we're serving the Lord, yes. You know, we're serving Christ. And if two people are serving Christ, they are serving together. Amen. The same Lord. But you understand that people have a different idea as far as what it means to separate. Separation's not a negative thing, but God ordained it to be a commanded blessing. The world may view us, as far as biblical separation, in a negative light in order to denounce what we believe about the Scripture and to make us look like we're doing something wrong. Have you ever felt like you was doing something wrong? You say, I've never felt that way. Well, I have. Now, I don't know why I felt that way, amen, but, you know, in my flesh, I did feel that way. Anybody ever done that? I mean, you know, said, well, I believe this, you know, and I felt like I was maybe making them feel like that I was above them or something. And I try to say it in love and understanding. I try to get it across, this is why I believe this. It's not that I want to try to be above anybody else, but it's that I want to try to serve and be obedient to the Word of God as close as I can to the Word of God. And I understand I'm going to miss it a mile away many times, and you are too, amen. There'll be many times you'll miss it. But if we take the fundamentals of the Word of God and just stay as close as we can and be obedient to that Bible and do what God said, you won't be mind being called a separatist. That I've separated from the world. I'd rather be on God's side than be a member of any denomination. Amen? Association, convention, or social organization that compromises in the vital area of a Christian walk as far as worship and what it means to serve the Lord and be obedient to the Scriptures. Both fellowship and worship must be based within the boundaries of God's Word. It should be. Our Lord said the Father sought worship in both spirit and truth. To walk, work, and worship outside of God's truth is just unacceptable as far as in God's eyes. You can't please God in that way. And how can we do that if we don't separate from the world and separate unto God? I am a Baptist because Baptists are separatists. And that's what I want to be. Amen? Christians were recognized in the Scriptures, recognized and respected as being Christ-like, even by lost people. I think about Acts 11:26, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It was the lost people that looked and said, those people are acting just like that man they crucified back in Jerusalem. They're acting just like that man they called Christ. They must be Christ-like. They must be Christians. And they called them Christians because they walked just as Christ would walk. They talked just as Christ would talk. They were recognized and respected. And I'd say this day and time, hey, why are our churches being separated from the world and separating themselves unto God? Even our Baptist churches, even our fundamental, amen, independent Baptist churches, separating themselves. Hey, why aren't we respected amongst the community anymore? Hey, probably because we're not Christ-like. They don't see us as Christians as they seen them in that time. I've noticed a strong disrespect even in the last couple of years. In the 14 years I've been preaching, Brother Burke, the last couple few years it's been really bad. I mean, knock doors, and, you know, several years ago, people would knock a door and at least say, you know, I probably need to go to church. And they'd cuss and say, I'm sorry, preacher, I shouldn't have said that. Or they'd try to hide their alcohol. Or they'd try to do things. You know, the last few years, they don't try to hide anything. People just, I don't go to church, and that's just how it is. I don't want what you got. I don't have any interest in religion. I don't have any interest. Has anybody found that to be true in your talking and visiting with people as well? I don't have any interest in what you've got to say. I've had them say that several times up here. Amen. I'm not interested in that. I don't do that religious thing. You know, before they wouldn't have said that, they'd have been ashamed that they didn't go to church. They'd have been ashamed, you know, years ago that they didn't go to church or they wouldn't read their Bible or they didn't try to at least, you know, do something. They'd be ashamed, but nowadays, no, they don't give a rip anymore. And young people, you can forget about them being respectful to you more. They'll wad up the tracks and throw them on the ground in front of your face. When Christians were recognized as Christians, they were recognized and respected. When Christians were in the Bible times, they were recognized and rejected too. Rejected. As Christ-like, the convicted, those that were convicted, Acts 26:28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be Christian. Acts 7, we talked about this morning, old Stephen. Stephen preached the Word of God, and he said, I'm talking about Christ, hey, you've betrayed. You have become a murderer of the just one. And oh, they jumped on him, they gnashed on him with their teeth, they were mad. They were cut in their heart to the core. They were rejected back then, and they looked for the rejection. Hey, you know what? People today, they are two heart-warmed Christians. Amen. We don't want to offend, and we want to be politically correct in all of our dealings with people, and we just want to we don't want to offend anybody because we won't drive them to the pews, and we want them to come to our fellowships and our suppers and our little dinners and shopping tours and golf outings and all these churches just want to build up their membership in that way. As we think about, no doubt, that churches have become a place of social organizations instead of a place where sinners can get some help and people can fear the Lord. At least then people had an opportunity to reject the gospel. Amen? Let me tell you, separatists give people opportunity and they're rejected all the time. If you haven't been rejected in a while, maybe it's because you aren't living as a separatist. Oh, Brother Shoemaker, but my family does this and our children do this and we raise our children this way and we do this at the church and this. And so many people can come up with all these things, but you know what? Really, those that were separated felt rejection. And a lot of times, just if you haven't felt rejection in a while, most likely you haven't been separated before man. Y'all still with me, aren't you? It's the truth. Are you a separatist? Are you a fundamentalist tonight? Christians were recognized, not only rejected and respected, but they were recognized and reviled in Bible times. Over there in 1 Peter 4:16, he said, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Hey, they were persecuted. They were rejected. They were despised. They were reviled before man. I would say that a separatist is one that will understand and know what true persecution is. But he exhorts here, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Glorify the Lord when you've been rejected. Glorify the Lord when you've suffered a little persecution and been reviled for the cause of Christ. Today, believers are what they call Christian chameleons. They blend in, and they blend in what's suited for the world. No doubt they step out with the world and mercilessly persecuted because of it. But Christians shouldn't be these chameleon Christians, amen. They ought to just color themselves like Christ and just say, this is who I am. And I don't care what man says. I don't care what anybody says or does about it. But this is what I believe. This is what I stand for. And I don't care who knows. I wonder, are you that way? Do you not care what anybody says about you as far as what you believe, what you stand for? At work, they're gonna say, well, that guy's crazy. That guy, and they'll shun you. I've been booted out of the picnic table several times at some manufacturing places. Amen. Over there at the Red Bay, Alabama, the motorhome place, I used to tell people about the Lord, Brother Chad, and come break time, they wouldn't want to sit with me. Amen. They'd fill the picnic tables up so I wouldn't sit down. Amen. But you know, that's just how it is. You're going to be reviled. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be put off, cast off. That's okay. It's all right. You should thank the Lord. Glorify God on that behalf. Separatism is what cost millions of believers their lives. As Christians, they were quietly outstepped with the world. They were persecuted, driven out. Separatism might cost the lives of believers down through the time, but it was what they stood for. They fought for that. Separatism, as we think about separatism tonight, and three different things. And I don't really have time to go through all of these, but I will say, if we're going to be separated from the world, we'll have to be separated ecclesiastically. You say, Brother Shoemaker, I don't know if I believe all with ecclesiastical separation, but I want you to know that men should be separated in their worship and work for the Lord. They should be. We shouldn't yoke up with someone of unlike faith. Hey, I can't help but think about that man that caught me one time, and I had a pastor down there in Belmont. He talked about the old Promise Keepers meeting. This guy called me and says, well, you know, what do you believe about that? And I had to tell him, amen, I'm going to have to hold hands with a priest, renew any vows with my wife, amen. I don't have to go to those things. I'm not going to hold hands with all those of different beliefs, and we'll just get along on a common ground, and everybody, we'll all just wash all doctrine underneath our feet, and we're not going to stand. Hey, if you can't assemble according to the Scriptures, then something's wrong. Isn't that right? I mean, if we can't assemble and take this Bible and say we believe this and we believe that and we're in one accord, hey, when they met there in the book of Acts, they were all in one accord. Amen. They believed what the others believed. They believed the disciples' doctrines and they took it as truth. And they accepted Christ as their Savior and they were baptized into the church and they walked together with one accord, one belief. And if I can't meet with somebody and say we believe this and we believe that, hey, I understand. I don't mind anybody, amen, coming to the church and having different beliefs. You're welcome to sit on a pew. You're welcome to do what you'd like, amen. I'm not going to keep anybody from coming to church. I don't mind that one bit in the world. But let me tell you, if somebody is going to join Faith Baptist Church, they must believe what we believe. It's ecclesial separation, amen. We must practice that. And we must hold to that. Not only ecclesiastical separation, but doctrinal separation is understood. I'm Baptist because I'm doctrinally separated from what others might teach to be false doctrine. Amen? Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a good question, ain't it? I mean, can two people, I mean, come together on common grounds if they don't agree with one another? Can they come together? And you know, that's an old saying, we'll have to agree to disagree. And I don't have any problem, you know, because saying that to somebody that it's just a waste of breath to talk to, amen. Casting your pearls before the swine. Sometimes I've used that, brother, just have to agree to disagree right here, go our separate ways. You know what I'm really saying is I don't want to waste my time with you anymore. I don't want to waste my time. I remember visiting with a guy up here, and we was knocking doors, and this guy, he was off on some crazy stuff. They kept on and kept on and kept on. The whole time I was thinking, these houses we could be at right now. I finally stepped in. I said, this is what we believe. I said, if you'd like to come, I said, you're welcome to. This tract tells you how to go to heaven when you die. We'll just have to agree to disagree on this matter right now. And I said, hope you have a good day. Well, I wouldn't try. I mean, that guy, he could have debated till he was blue in the face with this guy. And it wouldn't have done him any good, you see. But doctrinally, we have to be separated and know what we believe. And if there are two people that say, I believe this and I believe this and we believe together, then we can walk together and agree to it. That means walk, to work, to operate, to function. We can do that together. Amen. We shouldn't have any problems. I talked with a preacher not too long ago, it was a few weeks ago. He said, I don't know if I can work with this specific group of people. I said, well, I don't know why you couldn't, amen. Both independent Baptists, both of you agree, the same doctrine, like practice, like faith. I'm not fully understanding. And you know what? A lot of times it boils down to a camp issue. Because one's a member of this camp, or one's this camp. Well, I want you to know, I'm not a camper, amen. I am a separatist, but I'm not a camper. It's not about what camp you go to. It's about, are you a fundamentalist? Are you a separatist? Are you a Bible believer? Are you going to stand for that and contend for the faith? Are you going to keep going when you feel shameful and your flesh wants to make you feel ashamed and your flesh makes you want to doubt and your flesh makes you want to give up? Are you going to stand for what is right and what is truth no matter what and say, me and my family are going to separate ourselves unto the Lord? Romans 16:17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Old Paul was saying, if there's someone that has some contradictions there, according to the doctrines that you know are correct. And this is pretty much the same thing that he told Timothy when we began. Continue thou therein. The things which thou hast to learn and been assured of. Continue in these things. You know they're right. And if anybody is causing divisions, deceiving and being deceived, avoid them. Avoid them. Try to go around them, amen. Don't have contact with them. True Baptists not only stand for ecclesiastical separation, doctrinal separation, but personal separation. Personal. We're to be separated in our walk. We heard this verse a while ago. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what you're supposed to do to begin with. It's not that you were supposed to learn that. You're supposed to just done that. Amen? We were just, when I got saved, I was supposed to separate myself and begin to go unto God and away from the world. That should have been natural. And it should be natural. It should be something that I should practice and want to do in my life. Hey, true Baptists have always stood for personal separation. I'm going to separate my body. I don't care what my wife says, what my husband does, what my children do. And don't get me wrong, I'm not getting anybody out of their positions, amen, or what their duties are as a husband, dad, wife, whatever it is, mom. But what I'm saying is it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. You're going to answer before God when this is all done. Personally, you're going to stand before God and give an account for yourself and what you've done. And we should practice personal separation, separating ourselves, making our bodies a sacrifice for the Lord. King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Christian here means one who is Christ-like. Believers were called Christians by the lost because of their testimony being Christ-like. Our outward demeanor is a reflection of our inward conversion. Amen? I should be personally separated because of what the Spirit of God has done on the inside of me. And if I'm not, I want to go back and say, I want to examine things and say, what did happen? I mean, am I saved? If I am saved, then something's not right. I need to begin to start working with my own heart for the Lord. Amen. Man has a lot of responsibilities, don't he? He's got his family, he's got his wife, his children, taking care of the house, all those things that a man has to do. But if he misses that personal time with the Lord, if he misses that time when he begins to separate himself unto God personally and begins to take himself and do something with himself, how can a man run his home, run it and lead a wife and lead children? How can a man do that if he's personally not separated? You won't find a man that's not personally separated as far as himself. That'll be ecclesiastically separated. Y'all listening to me tonight? I'm a Baptist because I believe personal separation. Amen? You're not going to find a man, Court, that'll be strong on doctrinal separation. He'll begin to compromise when he's not personally separated. You see, it doesn't matter, Court, when you get married, Abigail, when you guys get married, you know, it doesn't matter as far. I mean, it does matter. You want a good, godly husband, but you've got to keep yourself separated. Because if you don't, you'll find yourself begin to start slipping. You have to keep yourself separated, away from the world, and unto God. Now, I don't believe in taking my convictions and being in anybody's face with it. Amen. I want to let you know that tonight. But I do want to let you know what I stand for, what we should stand for as Baptists. Baptists have always stood for these things. Always. Why should we stop now? We're seeing a turn in independent Baptist churches today. A turn. And it's harder to see people saved. It's harder to grow churches today. It really is. It's no excuses there. Man goes out, he can grow a church, and he can see people saved, and I believe that. But today there's so much baggage, you know, when you see somebody saved, there's so much baggage which comes with those things. It's hard to see people separate anymore. I mean, they're living together, they got children out of wedlock, and it's worse now than it ever was before because the decline of what marriage is to be and what a home is to be is so declined in America that the standard of a home and marriage is just not where it should be. And because of that, so much baggage comes when you see people saved and you try to see people grow in the Lord. And because of that, we are seeing a decline in biblical separation. And this is the call, the duty of a Baptist. This is the identification of a Baptist. If we let that slip, Brother Ron, we're letting our heritage of what we know is right slip through our fingers. We know it's biblically right. And before we know it, before a church knows it, that church will be off the on the wrong path. Our churches need to know. This church needs to know it. Stand on what's right, what's true. I wish everybody that's usually here, amen, was here tonight to hear this message. We need to stand, fight, contend for the faith, know what you believe in, and stand for it. Amen? Stand for it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Court come, maybe somebody wants to come to an old-fashioned altar tonight. I give you an opportunity to do that. She plays through a verse invitation. Father, we pray that you bless this invitation time tonight. We pray, Father, that you bless each heart. Help us, O God, to separate ourselves unto you. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you've led me, Father, in the place of the Scriptures. Lord, just to believe what's right about the Scriptures. I pray that you'd help me to stay true to that, Father, and not something man taught, but Lord, I've seen it for myself, and I pray, help me to stay true to that. God, in a world when it seems like people are falling to the right and the left and compromising on both sides, I pray, help me to stay true. And these at this church, and these here tonight, help us to boldly say tonight, we're going to stand no matter what. We're going to stand. Not ashamed or afraid to be identified as Baptists tonight. Lord, we'll praise you for all you do now. In Jesus' name, amen. As she plays, if you'd like to come, you're welcome to come tonight. Lord, help me.